talked to you at the premiere at the museum.
House of Cards.
House of Cards, yeah. I remember Robin Wright, that day, she said something about how she was trying to base her character off of Lady Macbeth. And do you have any connections with Frank Underwood and Richard III?
Well, in both cases, we literally had nothing to do with that. The characters were based on Richard III and on Lady Macbeth. When Michael Dobbs wrote the original book and the original series, those were the two characters that he sort of rounded around these characters to create. It's one of the reasons why, for example, the direct address happens in House of Cards, is that while some people may believe that Ferris Bueller created the direct address, he didn't. It was created by William Shakespeare. And so that all throughout Richard III, Richard is constantly turning to the audience and breaking the fourth wall and making them his co-conspirators. And it was just weirdly fortuitous that I ended the run of Richard III a month before we started shooting the first season on House of Cards, and all of that experience of having played that role and having had that relationship with an audience just came in so handy for when we started shooting House of Cards.
Nice. We can get back to House of Cards in a minute, but let's go a little further into this documentary here. First of all, what is it about live theater? You mentioned the direct camera address, but what is it about live theater as opposed to film and TV? For example, I was just at Broadway and seeing Neil Patrick Harris doing Hedwig, and he called out to our box throughout the show up in the balcony box, and it was like a direct interaction with me and him. You couldn't do that with movies. In Raging Bull, De Niro does the whole "A Horse, a Horse" by King Before a Horse. He quotes it and says, "The thing ain't the ring, it's the play." So, what is it about? What is it about the play? Is it like a live energy for you?
It's a couple of things. It's that first, film is a director and an editor's medium. It's not the actor's medium at all.
Right.
Theater is the actor's medium. And by that, what I mean is that when you go and make a movie, it's very disjointed. Your shooting schedule's all over the map. It's never in continuity. And you basically work in 2 to 3 minute bits. You never actually get to play the whole character.
Right.
You play pieces of the character. And you might give lots of different varieties of takes and ways into a line from the different angles that the camera's moving around a room to capture a scene. And then they cut it all together, and they make it look like you did it that way, but you may not have done it that way at all.
The illusion, yeah.
So it's quite a different experience to be, first of all, to come to rehearsal with a group of actors and a director every single day for 6 weeks in a row and investigate a text and try it this way and then try it that way and then, no, that doesn't seem to work. And then what if we try it this way? What if you came in and you played it much closer to me? Now, that is an incredibly long, wonderful process of investigation. When you're making a movie or a television show, you might have time to rehearse, maybe, usually not. You usually only have time to camera block, which is you figure out exactly where you're going to move around in the scene and what props you're going to use. Now, that means, well, one major thing. You have to make decisions very quickly. And you hope that you're making the right decisions. You're putting yourself in the hands of a director and an editor and hope they'll use the best material that you give them. But it is not as luxurious an opportunity to allow things to percolate, to grow on you, to change. And then, just in terms of the performance itself, I always try to remember this. No matter how good an actor might be in a movie, they'll never be any better. It's frozen.
Right.
But in theater, I can be better tomorrow night than I was tonight. I can be better in 2 weeks. The analogy I like to make, because I'm a crazy tennis person, is tennis. If you went out 8 times this week and played tennis, yes, it's the same rules, but it's a different game every time you're out on that court, and that is exactly what theater's like. It is never the same. It is alive. It is growing. It is now, which is why I call the film that. And what you can learn and how a performance can change from the first preview to 3 weeks later to 12 weeks later to 6 months later, in the case of this production of Richard III, to 10 months later, is an incredible journey. And not only are you changing and growing, your fellow actors are changing and growing. The audiences are different. And there is, I think, also just the act of being watched changes it.
Yeah.
And in film and television, you're not being watched. I mean, you've got a few crew members around.
Unless it's like Purple Rose of Cairo.
Right.
But yeah, pretty much, yeah. And there's a line in the movie, too. I can't remember. I think it might be Sam Mendes that says it goes up on a DVD shelf and then it's gone.
Well, no, he says you can't pull it off the DVD shelf.
Right. Well, the movie's on the DVD shelf.
Movie's on the DVD shelf, but theater's not. Although they're weird now finding more and more ways to capture theater and to be able to preserve it in some ways. But, yeah, it is here and then it's gone. And even if you see a performance, you know, people going in to see Bryan Cranston right now doing this LBJ play he's doing in New York. Yeah, a lot of people are coming into that theater because they love him in Breaking Bad. But you know what? At the end of that night, I'll bet people are thinking, wow, theater's really incredible. Because he's able to convince them over a period of time that he is this new character. And that's the sort of exciting thing about no matter what gets them into the theater, we don't care. Our job is once they get in that seat is to plant those seeds so that theater can become exciting and accessible and affordable. Do you know what the single largest tourist attraction is in the United States? The biggest money-making tourist attraction in the United States is?
Is it still theater?
It's Broadway.
Oh, really?
The West End has just had record-breaking year of ticket sales in terms of theater. If you look across this country, there are probably two, sometimes three, Shakespeare theaters in every state in the Union. Shakespeare in the Park has been going since 1962, with some of the greatest actors ever playing Shakespeare in New York and Central Park. You know, theater's, it's alive and well.
Still cooking.
You know, it's still cooking away.
All right, cool. Well, then, I guess...
I'll tell you what, here's what I think the difference is.
Go ahead.
People put a lot more value in film and television. They think that's, you know, people look at me like, well, I don't understand, why did you go off and run this theater for the last 10 years? Like, why would you not want to just do movies and make money? Well, this movie that I've made is an answer to all those questions.
Nice.
People that don't get theater, come and see this film, because you will.
Nice. And in a way, it's getting the old, it's, you know, it's Sam Mendes with, you know, you worked with an American Beauty, and I believe the director of The Doc, wasn't he like an associate producer on Beyond the Sea?
He was an associate producer on Beyond the Sea, but he also is, he went to film school, number one. Although he'd never made a film, he had been an assistant director on about 7 art productions at the Old Vic. So I knew he had already integrated himself into a company, and I thought, by bringing him on to do this film, maybe he could sort of almost disappear and people would forget that there was a camera, and that's pretty much what happened.
Gotcha. What's it like working with Sam back in theater as opposed to in your Oscar-winning, you know, film sets?
Well, you know, it's there was really no difference whatsoever. One of the things that I loved working about Sam when we first worked together in American Beauty is that although that was his first film, and although that was a film, he brought the best of theater and applied it. We rehearsed that film like it was a play for 2 weeks, which is almost unheard of in a film situation, where on a big soundstage we had all the sets, you know, sort of drawn out where we were going to be, what the locations were going to be. Every single actor who was in that movie was in that rehearsal process, whether they had 100 lines or they had one line. So that by the time we got to the sets and started shooting, we knew what we were doing. And the same kind of visual, incredible style that Sam had in the theater. I mean, I'd seen many of his productions in the theater. It didn't surprise me in the least that the visual way that American Beauty came off, what he and Conrad Hall were able to achieve, the way in which he's able to describe to each department what he wanted, what he was looking for, from costumes to props to ultimately to a beautiful score.
Right.
All of that, Sam learned all that in the theater. And that to me has sometimes been the best experiences I've had, where I've worked with directors who have come out of the theater, who understand that for those of us who have had any kind of success in film, I know it's because of what I learned in the theater.
Absolutely. So you'd recommend more directors having a little time there. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, since we're running out short on time, let's kind of wrap up then with what's been the news lately with the House of Cards and the tax credits and all that. Was that, you know, they finally got that hammered out, show's coming back for another season. Was there ever any doubt in your mind that it was going to come back around? Or?
No, I think some of that was just
drummed up,
posturing, you know, everyone getting quite excitable. And the fact of the matter is I never had any doubt that it was all going to work out. There was no reason to doubt that we weren't going to continue in the state of Maryland. We're incredibly happy to be there, happy it worked out, and we hope to continue for many more years.
And what is it about shooting in the state of Maryland that you like? You know, while you're, you know, we all see what the product that comes on screen, but, you know, off screen, you know, when you're out eating or relaxing, or what is it about the area? Is there, you know, what do you like to do while you're in Maryland?
First of all, Baltimore is a terrific city. I think it got a bad rap from The Wire. It is not like The Wire. There are sections where, but that's true in any city around the world. The waterfront area is fantastic. Lots of great, great restaurants, good music. Annapolis is a terrific town. We're very close, obviously, to D.C., and when we have to come here to shoot exteriors, we do. But Maryland has been able to stand in for Washington, D.C., for us on every aspect. The crews are fantastic. And we're delighted to be able to bring as much economy into Maryland as we do, and I've just really enjoyed it. I'm having a blast.